Hello, Grinders, and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down the slate for you guys. We're here for a 9-game Friday slate, and for 9 games, I don't like it a lot, but of course I'm going to play it, hoping I'll find some things that I like throughout the day, but as of right now, I don't know. It's just not the greatest 9-game slate, in my opinion. There aren't just games that I'm in love with. There's like a game here or there that are obviously ones that we're going to have more interest in and others, but I don't know. For some reason, this game is just not my favorite slate so far. So, let's just dive in and kind of start talking about it. First game is Indiana Pacers, Charlotte Hornets. This game we already saw the other night. This is an interesting one because, again, like I said, we saw it the other night, and a lot of these guys are really priced up. Let's talk about Charlotte first to start. We have Kemba Walker. He's 8.7K. over on, FanDuel. He's 10K on FanDuel. He's just really expensive over there. DraftKings, too. You know, price is definitely up for sure on them. I always love targeting the Pacers. 9.2K for Dwight on DraftKings. I love that price tag. I don't know if I want to pay an 8.8K price tag on a Kemba Walker. Just seems like a lot of these guys are priced up. We also have some injury news, too, right? Marvin Williams has been dealing with some issues. So, Frank the Tank, he was an interesting value the other day and disappointed, but I'll go back to the well on Frank Kaminsky. I think he's a perfectly fine play in this spot. He's a guy that you can definitely play here. Michael K. Gilchrist, if you need a cheapie, I don't hate it, but it's really Dwight Howard and Frank are my two favorite guys. I really don't want to pay for Kemba Walker. Nick Batum's been better. I understand Nick Batum if you want to get, exposure to him. He's been a lot better recently, but I don't know. For me, not really looking to, I just don't want to overpay on these guys, right? That's kind of what I feel like I'm doing. The only guy I would really, really want to overpay for is, a Dwight Howard, just that guy. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm not even overpaying on DraftKings. On FanDuel, I feel like I am a little bit, but on DraftKings, I don't mind that price tag, and I just like targeting Pacers at the center position a lot. So I don't think I'll play Kemba, but if you told me, my value guy is Frank Kaminsky, and then my other choice would be Dwight Howard. The next spot, we got the Indiana Pacers, and so this team's priced up a little bit too, right? Their price kind of like Turner isn't really, in kind of, and Turner's now back. We got Oladipo, he's, in the 9K range. We got Thaddeus Young, he's in the mid 6K range, same with Sabonis. And then with Miles Turner being back, that's just kind of muddying up the front court. So I think I'm staying away from that entire front court. I don't think it's a spot that's necessary to target them. If you want to pay for anyone, the guy I would pay for is Oladipo, but I just think I'm fading the Pacers completely. I just don't think we need to in this spot. I think it's completely unnecessary. I think fading the Pacers is the right call on this slate, and that's the approach that I'm going to take. Just no Pacers for me unless some value opens up. So yeah, this game is kind of, in a way, a fade. It's just really Frank the Tank and Dwight Howard, and then I'm kind of moving on. There's no Pacers for me today unless I'm running back Howard with Oladipo. I think I can understand doing that, but that's about it. Let's go on to the next one, though. We have the Portland Trailblazers and the Toronto Raptors. And this is, this is another game. People are not going to want to go back to the well on DeLon Wright yesterday. That was definitely a disappointing time for people. I'm expecting Fred VanVleet will miss this game again because, had a newborn, so congrats to him. I will not be going back to DeLon Wright. If you're a tournament player and you think it's a good idea to, go for it. But I was a little shaky on it yesterday, and I think I'm just going to stay away today. But let's look at this game and see who else we can really play. I think Kyle Lowry is definitely in play after yesterday's performance. The only problem is, Portland's a pretty good defensive team this year, and still don't know how or why it's changed, but maybe it's partially Nurkic, and I don't know, that's helped with the team defense and whatnot. But I just think Lowry is, at his price, is definitely in play and in the conversation. 7-3 is just way too cheap for him, right? Let's see, DraftKings price, he is at, he's at 7. He's just cheap around the industry in general. Fantasy Draft, he's got a good price tag, so he's someone that I just think at that price tag, it's just way too cheap on him. Have to have him in consideration. I just never played DeMar DeRozan. He's just so expensive. I understand he's been really good this year. I don't know, man. I'm just not playing DeMar DeRozan. You're not going to catch me playing him tonight. Don't like the spot that much. If I had to, I'll play Kyle Lowry instead. OG Anunoby, I'm not worrying about him. All these other guys, right? Ibaka, Valanciunas, I get Valanciunas has been really good, but his minutes are kind of limited in a matchup against Nurkic. That's not the greatest spot for him. I think it's just really Kyle Lowry for me, and that's about it with the Raptors. I'm not going to go too crazy on them. This isn't one of my favorite games on the slate, despite the 215 game total. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just Kyle Lowry, and I'll move on from the Raptors. If we look at the Trailblazers, I think Nurkic has a great price tag for the upside that he can have at 6.2K. You know, on a site like Fantasy Draft, we can play tons of centers, and, you know, there's always, you know, you always feel weird on some sites getting locked in only one center, and you can't get exposure to more, but Nurkic is a guy that can have massive upside at this price tag. I think he's a really interesting play. I think Damian Lillard's a fine play, someone you can consider. I wouldn't chase CJ McCollum after the big game. I think he's kind of expensive already, and I felt like I was overpaying the other day, but with Tyreke Evans being out, I just quickly pivoted to CJ McCollum because I was out and about, and it ended up helping me out a lot. So I think CJ McCollum, I wouldn't be playing here. If you told me I had to pick one, I would play Damian Lillard instead. Other than that, it's really Nurkic is the guy in tournaments I want to target on Portland if I target anyone. And then, like, yeah, Ed Davis, he's too expensive. It's really just Nurkic in tournaments and Kyle Lowry on the Raptors side of the ball. Let's move on to the next game, though. We have the Los Angeles Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. They are next up on its 217.5 team total, with the Nets as only 1.5-point favorites at home. This is a really interesting game, like one that I'm definitely going to look to target for sure. We have a Nets team that's not my favorite to target, but the Lakers' side of the ball is where I'm really interested. So let's start there first. The first thing we have to figure out on the Lakers' side of the ball is what do we want to do with Jordan Clarkson. He's a guy that's starting to get a little priced up, but he's someone that I really, really want to consider on the slate, right? I know the price is getting up, but it's the Brooklyn Nets. They struggle a ton. I think he's a great tournament play. I don't hate him in cash games. I don't think you have to go that route, but I think he's a fine play. He's someone I'm definitely going to have some interest in. The big concern is what do we do with the center position? That's going to be an issue, right? I actually think Brook Lopez is going to make an interesting tournament play. And if we hear throughout the day that he's going to get tons of minutes, I think that's definitely interesting. He got 30 minutes last time. That's because Larry Nance was out, though. I understand this is a totally different situation than it was in the past. But for Brook Lopez's price tag, if they want to do a little bit of the revenge narrative, I don't think it's a terrible route to go. I don't know if they will do it, but I think it's something that we have to consider. And we have to check the news throughout the day. And we should get, like, news on who's going to play. I mean, the Nets like to go a little bit bigger, and with them wanting to go with, like, the Okafors and the Allens, I think Lopez can match up pretty well against them. So I think he's fine. There's also a good spot where they could showcase Julius Randle. I think he's in a pretty good spot. Like him here, you know, the upside is immense. If he gets going and rolling, I mean, he'll just go for, like, 50, right? Like, this is a spot where he can easily do that. Question is, what will Luke Walton do? He can kind of be a disaster with that, so I don't know. Temper your expectations with Randle. Just don't go crazy overweight with him, right? It's not a spot where I feel like he's just going to absolutely smash and go off, but I think there is the possibility, and you might want to get a little percentage of him. Brandon Ingram, he's a guy I really like in this spot. I think he could actually have a really good game, just getting more opportunities with the ball, and, like, just if this game is going up and down, we could see a massive explosion spot for Brandon Ingram, so I like him. And then KCP, I think he's an okay play. Other than that, though, if I pick a bench guy, it's probably Jordan Clarkson. Kyle Kuzma's an okay play. Don't hate him, but I'd rather play Clarkson. It's really Clarkson and Ingram are my two main targets. And then looking at Lopez and Randle to see which center kind of occupies those minutes. And that's kind of going to be the choice I try and make there. But let's move on to the Nets side of the ball. And this is kind of a problem for me. I don't know what to do with the Nets because they just are running way too many guys right now. It's just like the rotation's insane. Can't really figure out what to do minutes-wise with them. That's kind of the issue. I get it, right? The Brooklyn is a team that we should definitely want to have interest in. They're playing the Lakers, faster paced team. I totally understand, but they're playing too many guys. That's one of the issues. Like, looking right here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. They played 11 guys last game out against Philly, and just the minutes were so spread. If you like look at the game flow tracker on here, minutes are just all spread out and whatnot. I don't know. It's really hard to pinpoint which Nets guy, because, like, Spencer Dinwiddie, sure, he pops and models, and it's a great spot for him normally, but I don't know, man. Like D'Angelo Russell can be an issue. Like, he takes up some usage. I've seen that second unit play. I mean, they're just giving, like, usage to, like, a guy like Jahlil Okafor, who's taking the ball out of people's hands. I don't know. I just don't think I want to play any Nets here. I can't figure out who I would run it back with. If I do pick one to run it back with, it's probably Damari Carroll, because of just how great and consistent he's been. That's probably what I do. Caris LeVert, looking at him, I mean, he's listed as probable, but who knows with that guy. I'm assuming he plays. If he doesn't play, I think that can make Allen Crabbe a little more interesting. But again, the Nets are just playing too many people, and I think it's fine to stay away. You can play Lakers, and I don't think you have to run it back with any Nets. I really don't think you have to. But if you want to, You know, with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson out, I get it. I think it's Damari Carroll's the guy that you run it back with. And then kind of that's about it for the Nets side of the ball for me. Let's move on to the next one, though. Next game on the slate, we got the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics at a 203.5 team total. And we got some injuries here that we got to talk about. The best thing I can tell you guys about this game is we need injury news no matter what. Like, basically, whatever I tell you now is probably not going to be that helpful because we have no news. I can try and play the if-then game, and I'll do my best right now, but you're really going to have to, stay tuned to some other Grinders live shows to get the best type of analysis once you get all the news, because we have Kyrie Irving. We don't know if he's going to play. Dennis Schroeder, he's questionable for this game, so we have no clue. He was participating in shoot-around, so maybe he plays, but we really don't know. Then we have Marcus Smart. He's already out. Marcus Morris, he looks like he's going to be questionable for this game. So there's a lot of unknowns in this game in general. So, yeah, we kind of have to just take the wait-and-see approach. If you say Dennis Schroeder is out, I'm going to be most interested in Kent Bazemore because he'll be playing some point guard. Again, this is a game that's like, it's kind of scary. It's not one of those games that you expect a lot of production from because it's like the Hawks against a terrible the scary Celtics defense. Like, they're just really good defensively. So this terrible offense against a really good defense, I'm a little scared of seeing Kent Bazemore play the point against them possibly. But if he does play the point, I obviously want a shooting guard who's playing the point guard and getting more ball handling responsibility. So he'll obviously be in a good spot. If we have Shane Larkin out and Kyrie Irving at this price, I will fire up Terry Rozier. If Larkin's in, I'll be a little more cautious with Terry Rozier. I'm not expecting the triple-double again, but I think it's a decent spot for Rozier. Regardless, it just depends on who sits and who's in, out, blah, 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 all that stuff. Al Horford, I think this is a good revenge spot for him. I don't hate him around the industry. I think he's okay. Probably other centers I'd rather play, but And then Jaylen Brown, I like attacking the Hawks with wings, so I think Jaylen Brown is a fine option, depending on how the injury news shakes up. But we really need to get injury news. That's going to be very key with this game. Can't give you the best type of analysis of what to do. Just stay tuned for some news on that. Obviously, if certain guys are out, like if Schroeder's out, I want to play Bazemore. And then if Kyrie's out, I think Rozier is interesting, as long as we can get Larkin out too. It just a lot depends on that. But my favorite's going to be Bazemore if Schroeder is out. And then we really need to wait on the Kyrie news and Marcus Morris too to really kind of pinpoint what we're going to do with the Celtics. So let's move on to the next one, though. We got the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks. We have a 205.5 team total, and this is definitely a game we have to watch for news. There's Giannis, he has an injury, turned his ankle in the fourth quarter on Thursday's game. I'm assuming he doesn't play, so if he doesn't play, I mean, that's going to be very big, big news, a lot of usage going around. Eric Bledsoe was ruled out for Thursday's game. We don't really have the word on what he's going to be for, Friday. I don't know, my guess is he wasn't going to play if Giannis would play. But now maybe they rush him back. Who knows? I don't know for sure. Something with the weight on. I know Jabari Parker is going to return in this game, so that's something to watch. But Jabari Parker is going to be pretty limited, I'm sure. So we kind of have to, they say he's going to play 15 minutes. I believe that's what they'll do. At his price, I don't want to play a guy who's capped at 15 minutes, so I'll pass on Jabari Parker. Chris Middleton will be the guy who gets a ton of usage, though, if Giannis is out and Bledsoe. Like, Middleton will just be the guy. I mean, also Malcolm Brogdon, he's dealing with an injury. I'm not expecting him to play either. He left the locker room with crutches on, and a cast on his leg. I'm sure he's not playing today. So this could all be the Chris Middleton show, and he could really be a guy you want to target. John Henson, he's going to be a guy, basically what happens is the Knicks like to run really big, and they're going to need John Henson to play all the minutes. So I think he's someone that could be interesting. If all these guys are out, say we're missing Brogdon, Bledsoe, Giannis, I mean, Tony Snell is going to be coming play. It sounds disgusting, but it's true. He's going to be someone we have to consider. Same with Sterling Brown. He's another cheap guy you can consider on this slate. Matthew Dellavedova, he might get some more run. These guys are going to be interesting values to consider. It seems like Middleton is going to be the guy that we really gravitate to and the guy that we want the most exposure to, though, if we had to pick on the Milwaukee side of the ball based on the injury news. But wait and see kind of what the what happens with all that news and kind of make a decision based on seeing all that. But it seems like Middleton's going to be my favorite play in this game, and then maybe mixing in some of the values once we kind of get more news. New York Knicks. So this is a good spot for the big men. We know we like to target the Bucks with big men. So Porzingis, I think he's an okay play. I just don't really want to pay that price tag for him, so I don't think I'm going to. I think Enes Kanter, he can have upside here. But again, I don't think I'm going to spend my money there at center. So I don't think I'll end up going that approach with him. If you look at some of these other guys, like, you know, Michael Beasley, Tim Hardaway Jr., I don't know, I'm not in love with them here in this spot, or Courtney Lee. It just, I can't figure out which Nick I'm going to play if I want to run it back with anyone. That's kind of one of my biggest issues when trying to figure out, you know, if I play Middleton and a lot of these other Bucks, say, like, a lot of value opens up, who do I want to run it back with? That's kind of something I'm trying to, like, think through. And at this time, I really don't know who I would run it back with. I guess it just makes the most sense to pick one of the big men. You know, Enes Kanter, I think, makes the most sense, like, on DraftKings, 6.9K and 7K on FanDuel. I think there's a safe enough floor where it's fine. But, yeah, we'll go with Kanter. He's going to be the guy. I just don't really want to pay the Porzingis price tag a ton here. And I think Kanter obviously has the upside. You know, when that guy gets going, I mean, he just gets going. So, yeah, I'll run it back with Kanter, I think. Let's move on to the next game, though. We got the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. This game, again, man, it's not the greatest game on the slate. It's just there's not a lot of games I like here. You know, not a fast total, you know, or not a fast-paced game. The total is 201. We got the Sixers at 102.5 spread. Miami Heat at 98.5. So first thing we'll start off is with the Heat. The Heat are a team that are starting to get healthier. On top of that, the Heat are, you know, this is a good spot for them, though. Like, and they are expensive. So I don't really like playing the Heat recently because of they've gotten more expensive and, you know, they're getting healthier. And they were getting expensive because there were guys out. With all those guys coming back, it's caused issues. But now they're getting a huge pace-up game for them against the Sixers team. So, you know, it seems like I should have some interest in some of these Heat guys. I think Hassan Whiteside has the upside to do it, but, man, I played him against Cleveland, and I got burned, and that's, like, the perfect spot. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play him here against Embiid. I could expect him to get in foul trouble, too, and get pulled and not play the fourth quarter. So, I'm not a big fan of Whiteside here. I think Josh Richardson is a fine, safe cash game option, but he is pretty pricey. I don't love him, but I think he's fine. I think if you played him, you wouldn't hate playing him, but, again, I'm a little worried about his upside. We like to target the Sixers with guards, right? That's kind of where I like to get the most exposure to him. I think Goran Dragic, man, for $6,300. That's a crazy price tag it feels on him. I like him. I think he's the guy I'm going to want to use to get exposure to over on FanDuel. On DraftKings, let's see the price tag on Dragic. He is, I don't know why it's not coming up. Oh, that's some on the wrong position. He is 7,000, so I prefer more over on FanDuel. Fantasy Drafts price tag, I'll pull up Dragic here. I'm sure it's pretty similar to DraftKings, and my computer is acting up. Yeah, 13,500. I don't love that price tag for Dragic. I think there's other guys that you can go instead. Like, you can find five, you know, you can go 200 less for Chris Middleton, find 500 more for Paul George. So, you know, on a site, it's more so like a FanDuel where you're stuck playing two point guards, something like that. You know, well, not stuck playing him, but you get what I mean. You know, you have to play him in that spot. There's not as much position flexibility like a fantasy draft, which is great over there, so you're not stuck on playing guys. So, yeah, I don't think you have to play him over there. I think he's really more of a FanDuel play, if I had to say. Yeah, other than that, though, I mean, I really don't love, you know, love the Miami Heat too much here. I think they're guys that you can get exposure to, but I don't know. They are kind of pricey, so... I think it's a good matchup, though, like pace-wise, and it's like Dragic's probably my favorite, and you know, favorite tournament option, and then I'll say Josh Richardson is one of my favorite cash options because he's just a very safe guy, but I don't know if I'll play him. I don't really like playing him that much, and hopefully I can find another guy to play at small forward instead of him. I don't know why I don't like playing him. Maybe it's because I kind of missed the boat on some of the slates, and it's like not like he's burned me and I've been like, you know, he's hurt me not having him. I've had good, you know, I've had a pretty good last couple of months or so. I'm not too, like, mad about it, but I don't know why. I just don't like playing him. Don't know why the bias is there, but it is. But let's move on to the Sixers. Joel Embiid, I think he's, you know, he's a star, right? He's in play on almost any slate. Miami Heat, not the greatest spot for him. I'll pass. If he has a big game, so be it. I just don't think you need to be playing Embiid here. If you, you know, have all this money and have to spend up at center, right? Like, he's one of the guys you want to spend on, I think. Like, you know, you could spend on Dwight Howard or Embiid. It's tough because I really like targeting the Pacers, but I think Embiid is a good, you know, he's a good raw points play, but I don't think you have to, like, from a point per dollar, have to play him or anything like that. So no need for me to get any real Embiid exposure on this slate. I'm okay with it right now. I like Rudy Gobert a little bit more, who we'll get to and we'll talk about. But, yeah, that's about it for, you know, Embiid. You know, the Sixers are still dealing with some injuries. You know, dealing with that, it's definitely going to be a spot where we can target some of these guys. The problem is the pace of the game is not one of the greatest, right? That's one of the concerns to have for sure. You know, we have Reddick, he is back, so we don't have to worry about that injury anymore. So they're starting to get a little bit healthier. With Reddick being back, that's going to help the shot attempts of Covington and Sarch. I expect them to go down a little bit of like the load to kind of be taken off of them. These are not great matchups for them, right? Slow paced team, good defensive team. I'm not going to play Ben Simmons, who's going to have some issues. I just think the Sixers all around are just an easy fade for me. I don't really see any of them popping for me. The more I look at them, I don't know. I don't like playing guys against the Heat. That's something I really don't like doing. Such a low total on the Sixers. These guys are priced up. I don't know. I just think it's a fine stay away spot from the Sixers. If you told me, hey, Travis, you have to play one Sixer on this slate, who would you play? It's probably Embiid, just because, again, I don't think you need to pay up for him, but he's a guy that just has a ton of raw points, right, and get you a massive amount of points. And this isn't a slate where I feel like, you know, there are two stars you want to pay for that we can, but if you don't pay for them, then it seems like it's not like we have, you know, a lot of stars to pay for. And if you fade one of them and go to, like, paying up at center, that could be a contrarian option, because I feel like everyone's going to be paying up for Davis and Westbrook today. Everyone's going to want to do that. So if you want to go opposite with paying up for a guy like Embiid, and pay up at center, I don't hate it, right? Even for, like, a Howard. Say everyone's living, and I don't know what everyone's going to do at center. It seems like Rudy Gobert is going to be the guy that everyone gravitates to, but let's just say that no one, like, goes past Gobert. No one's really playing, like, I'm looking at FanDuel specifically right now, but no one's playing Howard or Embiid. Like, I think paying up for them is just an interesting way to maybe be contrarian. It's just like you have a guy like a star like Embiid who can go off at any time, right? Like, I believe Embiid won slate because there was, like, an injury issue with him, and then he played last second. He ended up being, like, 5%, and he ended up, like, you know, just going off in, like, a matchup that wasn't even good for him. He can just do that, right? He has the star power too, but that's enough ranting about that. I think he's the guy I would pay for if you forced me to play anyone on the Sixers. Let's go on to the next game. We have the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is definitely the game of the slate. There's going to be no Nikolai Mirotic on the Pelicans. So, yeah, definitely without Cousins. You know, they're going to be without Tony Allen, a Sheik they traded. So, they're definitely going to be a thin Pelicans team. Question is, who do we target to start this out? So Davis is the guy you want at first. He's the guy you should want to get exposure to. I'm expecting him to probably play a lot of center, I would assume, on Steven Adams. Yeah, I'm expecting him to get a lot of time on him. That's kind of what I'm thinking. And then they end up going more small ball, right? You get some of these guys will maybe slide over to the four for a little bit. You know, Dante Cunningham, he'll get some time maybe over there. Darius Miller, he'll probably play a lot of three too. Like, they'll just, like, mix and match and play positionless kind of at the wing position. But I think Etuan Moore and Darius Miller are both interesting fillers, but this is not a great matchup, right? The Thunder, they're a good defensive team, but without Andre Roberson, they've definitely have struggled defensively. So I think this is a different Thunder team, and I think they're okay to take these guys. I think maybe some people think Thunder are a good defensive team, we shouldn't target them, but I don't know. I think we can target them and be okay with it just because of the situation they're in with all of these guys being out right now. Drew Holiday is priced up at, around the industry in general. I think he's a fine play. I don't know if I'm going to do it. Let me see what his price is over on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. Yeah, he is $7,700 on DraftKings. On Fantasy Draft, he is $14,500. Yeah, I think he's a good play. You can get exposure to him. I'm definitely biased against Drew Holiday, and he's a guy I really don't like playing a ton. And but when there's no Boogie or no Davis, that definitely leaves some more shot attempts for him and more usage, and he definitely thrives in those situations. So he's someone that's in the player pool for me and someone I will be considering on this slate for certain. Rajon Rondo, man, so he's really cheap. Against Russell Westbrook, I don't know. He's just one of those guys, I think if you're playing 20 or more tournament teams, you want to get 5% of him just because of the massive upside this guy can have. And with no Cousins or no Davis, he can obviously go off and no one could own him. Here's his last, like, five games, which is really gross. 8.2, 17.7, 12.2, 14.5, 12.9. Man, really not a good spot for him. Just in general, like, he's been so bad recently. I don't know if you can pull the trigger on it, but I understand if you want to play like a 2 or 5% in tournaments just to be overweight on a guy who can have, you know, a massive 40-point ceiling at that price tag. But I don't know. I think there's better point guards for cheap, so I don't think we need to we really need to be going that route on this slate. But yeah, all these Pelicans are going to be in play. Be on the lookout to see who the starter is going to be. That's going to be very important for this slate for sure. Let's go on to the Thunder and talk about them for a little bit. So next up is Russell Westbrook. After a tough loss like that last night, I'm assuming Westbrook's going to go out there, and I just want to get a win here. This is a great spot for him, too. I believe it's also the third game in four nights. I couldn't figure that out because we're having some issues with the Roto-Grinders tool on that, but I believe it is. But I know it's definitely the second night of a back-to-back. Coming out of Denver, going back to Oklahoma City, that's not the easiest travel in the world. But I don't know. I think I'm going to pay for Russell Westbrook. This is, seems like a good spot to pay for Russell Westbrook. Last night, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 21 assists, 68.3 fantasy points. And this is against Rajon Rondo defense. I mean, one of the best matchups you can get. This is a good spot for Russell Westbrook. I think I'm going to pay for him. If you told me, hey, Travis, you can only pay for Russell Westbrook or you can only pay for Anthony Davis, who do you pay for today? That's a really tough question. Going back and forth on it, trying to think through who I would play. I mean, it depends on the position too, right? It depends on how much value I have. Where it's better to pay up, where it's better not to. But I think I'm going to end up paying for Russell Westbrook instead. I think I'd rather have him. I know it's off of a back-to-back out of there, but I don't know. I think this is a good spot for him, and I like him a ton. So he's the guy I would like. I love Paul George. I love targeting the Pelicans with forwards. At the wing, it's just a good spot for them, especially ones that are going to chuck up a ton of threes, and that's Paul George. He'll definitely do that for sure. I think his price is really good around around the industry, especially on Fantasy Draft and on DraftKings. He's a guy I like a lot. Steven Adams, I don't think I'm going to go with him today. I think it's an okay play. I don't hate it. Don't love it. But I think it's okay. I'd rather just find the money for Rudy Gobert. I think that's kind of the route I'm really taking at the center position, and that's where I'm kind of taking a stand at this point. But yeah, other than that, I think that's it for the Thunder. I'm not playing Carmelo Anthony. People can keep playing him. I don't care, man. I'm not playing this dude. This guy's not good. He has to make, if he makes his shots, he gets you to maybe 5x or barely 6x. I mean, he barely gets there, and he's got to be making his shots. There's one outlier game in the Cleveland game where he had 48.5 fantasy points, and that was on a two-game slate that nobody played. And I get it. He can get there. It's Cleveland, too, like the worst defensive team ever. And I am not playing Carmelo Anthony. I don't care. I think he's a terrible play. I get it. It's a spot where I would typically target him, right? He could play. He can get a ton of three-point shots up and could obviously, if he's hitting them down, and especially against the Pelicans, you can knock down threes easy. I could easily see him having a big game, like shooting wise, but I don't know. I'm just going to hope that they don't fall on. It's off of back to back out of Denver, tired legs, possibly, he's an older guy. I just think it's a bad spot for Melo. I will not be playing him here. So no Carmelo Anthony for me on this slate. Let's talk about the next game though. That obviously the game we just talked about is a game you want to target a ton. It's like probably like the most popular game that people will be talking about tomorrow. So yeah, 222 team total, get exposure to that game. Next one, we got the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, 210 team total, and the Jazz are 5-point favorites here. And Donovan Mitchell loved this spot for him. He's a shooting guard that's pretty expensive, but seeing a high usage, and I think it's, we can pay that price tag. I think people won't want to pay it because they'll feel like it's too expensive, but I like him here in this spot. He's someone I want to get exposure to. My favorite play in this game might be Ricky Rubio. He's been really good recently. Just been playing well all around. Price tag is going up. Last three games, 30 or more fantasy points. Seems like he's really getting in a nice rhythm with Gobert back, and they're really starting to flow really well, just as a whole unit. I like Rubio a lot here. I think he's going to be someone I definitely get exposure to in my cash games. Love Rudy Gobert. Gobert is probably going to be a center that I pay for on this slate. I know he's expensive at 7,800. Feels like a lot over on FanDuel on DraftKings. We get Rudy Gobert for, what's his price? 8,000. He's still he can just destroy in this spot. I mean, just get tons of rebounds. Expect this game to be really fast up and down game. I know Tyson Chandler's there, so it's not obviously the easiest spot. Tyson Chandler can have can have good defensive games, but just there's all the rebounds for Gobert. I like him a lot here, man. Rudy Gobert is the guy I'm targeting right now. Him, Rubio, and Donovan Mitchell are the main targets that I'm looking at, and then that's kind of it. Those are just like the main Jazz that I'm going to key in on and just really get the most exposure to. I don't think I need to be going like the Derek Favors route. Sure, in tournaments you can, last four games he's been really good, 30 or more fantasy points, so I get it. I think it's more of a tournament play than a cash game play, but yeah, those are like the main guys I'm looking at. Like a Joe Ingles, don't hate that too. As like a safe cash game guy, he's always good for that. And this is a game where he can get a lot of peripherals, I'm sure. But yeah, that's kind of going to be it. Those three Jazz are really the guys I'm keying on. Devin Booker, I actually like this spot for him. You know, we like to target the Jazz with jump shooters, right? Gobert is really good at protecting the rim. So with him being good at that, guys just don't attack him. So they just put up a lot of jump shots. And if the jump shots are going in, this game could stay close and it could be a back and forth game. I can just see this being a really good Devin Booker game. Like, if you're going to run a Ricky Rubio and like a, you know, like a Rudy Gobert, why not run it back with a Devin Booker? When that guy gets going, I mean, he goes off. And he could be really low owned because people are going to just see the Jazz and go, I don't want to play him. But he's a jump shooter, right? Sure, he will attack the rim at times. But yeah, I don't know, man. Devin Booker, I like this spot a ton for him. I think he's really interesting. With the Isaiah Cannon news, you know, Tyler Ulis, is this just going to be all the minutes for him? Again, I don't love playing Tyler Ulis. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think they're just going to run Devin Booker at the point guard a lot. And I don't think Tyler Ulis is just going to become like a two-guard next to him a ton. They're going to mix and match some of these guys, but stay tuned to kind of see what the news is on that. If you need a cheap guy, I don't hate Josh Jackson. He's just forced into minutes now, and just like the last two games, 20 or more fantasy points. In four of his last five games, he's got 18 or more. Not fantasy points, sorry, real-life points. So let me back that up. So last two games, 20 or more real-life points for Josh Jackson. Last four games, 18 or more real-life points. The fantasy points are 23.4, 33.6, 5.8, 29.6, 39.6. Josh Jackson is just like gaining a bigger role as a rookie now. And I mean, it's just getting later in the season where these rookies are going to be guaranteed in these minutes and opportunities. You know, have we missed the boat on Josh Jackson at this price? I don't know. It feels like maybe, but I think there's more upside. I think we could see him get into like the 6K range. I don't know. I think there's still some meat on the bone for Josh Jackson. So I don't mind firing away with him. I think he's a fine guy to, you know, get some exposure to. Marquise Chris too, like, right? He's been pretty good. 27 minutes in his last game. I don't know. If we know Marquise Chris is getting 25 or more minutes, just for his cheap value, if you want to like game stack this game, I don't mind mixing and matching him in on your tournament team. But other than that, I just, again, I don't want to sleep on the Suns because the Jazz are playing a lot faster pace than they have been in the past, and people still might be stuck on that. So they're a team. This is a pretty good game stack that I don't want to go overlooked for sure. And I love running it back with Devin Booker. I didn't really talk about TJ Warren a ton, but I think he's an okay play, but I think he is kind of pricey right now. And I get it, he has upside, but I'd rather just look for Devin Booker. I'll find the money for him over TJ Warren here. All right, next game, Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. It's the last game of the slate. And man, it's weird, right? Because this game, I feel like, just sums up the slate. It's kind of ugly because Sacramento Kings are going to be an interesting team to target because they're going up against the Golden State Warriors, faster-paced team, have a lot of injuries, no Scala BCA. Willie Cauley-Stein will be an issue, so there are guys on the Kings that we have to consider, so we'll talk about them first. Last game out there, Kosta Kufis, he had a very big game, 37 minutes, 46.4 fantasy points, had 17 real-life points and 17 rebounds against the Pelicans. His big body was needed. I'm a little worried he's not going to be super needed in this game. I'm sure he's going to get minutes, right, because he has to, and there's just, like, no centers, but it's not going to be 37 minutes worth, I don't think. I could see this game going small at times and maybe like Zach Randolph just eating a ton of minutes here. I love Zach Randolph. Problem is his price is up around the industry. It just depends on what his price is and if you can like kind of, you know, eat that price tag. I think he's a solid cash game play. Tournaments, I'm a little worried about his upside at, you know, $7,000. Let me see what he is on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. Hang on. Pulling it up now. We got him at 6,200 on DraftKings. Love that price for him. And then, oh, wow, 12,200. Yeah, so Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, I think Randolph is a really good play, someone I'm definitely going to consider a ton. Have to like him here in this spot. So Zach Randolph's going to be a guy I definitely want to get exposure to for sure. Will Vince Carter get a lot of run here? I don't know. Maybe because if the game goes small, maybe get some time at the four. He's old, though. I don't think I need to be playing him. So I guess I'm going to pass on him. Justin Jackson's been getting a little bit more run recently. I think he could get some, and maybe he can get some blowout time too, but I don't know. It's definitely not the easiest spot to roster. You don't want to be rostering a guy like that on a 9-game slate. I like Bogdan Bogdanovic. He's someone that's been getting a lot better usage, and I think he's a better tournament play. He's been struggling recently, but I mean, he's been getting a lot more usage and he's been, you know, pretty good. And I feel like this game could just fit him well. It's more of a gut call. I know he's been really bad recently and the price tag's gone down, but I think he'd be really solid play here in this spot. So I like him a little bit. De'Aaron Fox too, you know, price is getting up there, but I think he's a solid play. I think I'd rather just go Bogdan Bogdanovic in tournaments though instead. My favorite play on the Kings side of the ball is definitely going to be, you know, Randolph. He's probably my favorite guy I want to get exposure to, but don't sleep on the Kings today. Normally I don't really want to play any of the Kings, but they're guys that you're definitely going to have to consider. And like Garrett Temple, I think you have to consider maybe mixing and matching him on your teams with the way he's been producing as of recently. Golden State Warriors, man, that's the only issue is like, what do we do with them on this slate? They're a team I really don't want to play a ton. I'm kind of interested in Klay Thompson, mainly because I just want him to turn the clock back and have that big, 37 real life points in one quarter against the Kings, I believe that was. And I think that game was in Sacramento too. I could be wrong. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But also, he's got those like trade rumors around, right? I don't know if you guys read that article about LeBron James maybe getting traded to the Warriors. It's probably a bunch of garbage anyways, but his name was floating around as the guy that would be kicked out of town. So maybe he shows up and says, hey, you know, you can shoot down those rumors. Probably this narrative is a little too much that I'm playing into, but it's more so I just want to watch this guy, you know, have that big game again against the Kings. Because I remember watching that in the past, and man, that was a fun. I just remember watching that game, and it was a lot of fun to watch. And we love to target the Kings with shooting guards. We have for a while. I don't know, man. Klay Thompson could get hot from downtown, and it could get interesting. So I don't hate it. And I believe the Kings beat the Warriors once this year. And, you know, I expect the Warriors to want to, you know, beat this team for sure after losing one to them. So, yeah, I definitely think Klay Thompson's the guy that I think in tournaments is interesting because of the upside he has. When he gets going, he'll just, like, fire away. And he could be lights out from three because they don't play any defense there. Steph Curry's been really good recently, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play him in this spot. I think he's a guy you can play, though, if you want to pay up at point guard. But I'd rather find the money for Russell Westbrook. I think it's just too good of a spot for him. So, yeah, don't think I'll be going him. Kevin Durant, too, don't really want to spend on him. Don't mind maybe spending on a Draymond Green. But, again, I think he's just going to kind of I don't know. This is not the games that he normally thrives in, right? I just really think this is a good Klay Thompson spot. I could see this just being a game where he just gets going and just pours it on them. And he's just a cheaper guy, right? If I'm playing guys against the Kings, a slower-paced team, I really don't want to be spending like all this money on them. So I'd rather just find the cheaper option in the Klay Thompson in a matchup where if he gets his three ball going, then they're just going to let him fire away. So he's probably my favorite guy if I had to pick, but more of a tournament play, not playing any of these Warriors in cash games. But that'll about do it for the slate, guys. Thanks a lot for joining me again. It's not one of my favorite slates. Of course, I'm playing it, still playing it as normal. And just wait and see with some injury news. Maybe some things shakes up, and maybe the slate gets a little more interesting. But again, not some of my favorite games on the slate. I'll be playing it for sure, and hope you guys are playing it, and hope you guys have a pretty good day in your daily fantasy contest. If you have any questions, give me a follow on Twitter at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. Always happy to answer some general strategy questions for you guys. So for me, Travis Mangone, I am out.